Welcome to the NAPMA Maximum Impact Teleconference Call Archive CD. Each month, you're encouraged to join our NAPMA executive team of proven hyper-successful school owners, including Grandmaster Stephen Oliver, Master Toby Milroy, Grandmaster Jeff Smith, and many other special guests, along with our group of hundreds of growth-minded school owners from every corner of the globe, all gathering to collaborate, share what's working today strategies, proven successful marketing techniques, and tried and true business principles to help you take your school to the next level on this live teleconference. But this is also your chance to have your specific questions answered by our brain trust of industry experts. Check the call schedule in your member support package or in your members resource website for call-in times and access information. So let's jump right into this call in progress.
All right, fantastic. Welcome, everyone, to our sort of bonus and Q&A call here for the end of 2013. Welcome, everybody. Toby Milroy here again, Chief Operating Officer for NAPMA. And we have a couple of things to kind of get through here real quick at the beginning of our call before we switch over to, pretty much a Q&A session. We wanted to kind of take the time to do this kind of bonus call here at the end of the year for a couple of purposes. One is I wanted to sort of walk everybody through a couple of the things that we're planning for the new year, not in great detail. We're going to do a detailed series of webinars to walk you through some of the new features and programs that we have available for our members in a week or so. And then certainly at the beginning of the year, we're going to do a series of them. But I had a couple of updates for what we've been working on and a few of the things that we're planning for the new year. So we're going to accomplish that. Also, we have a few new folks we wanted to welcome onto the call and welcome into the organization. And I had some updates on our renewal blitz and some of our renewal systems that are working pretty well right now. We have some decent success stories to walk through and give everybody kind of some perspective on what's possible and what's happening right now under current market conditions in schools today. So that's sort of our agenda for the day, and then we'll have plenty of time for Q&A at the end of our call, and I've got a couple of them by email here that we'll walk through as well. But anyone who does have a question at any time during the call today, just hit *6 on your phone, and you'll be unmuted, and I'll be able to see you kind of light up on my screen over here, and I'll be able to call you out so that we don't have too much crosstalk or noise on the line. So that is our quick agenda for today. So number one, I would say, is this. Just quickly, I wanted to walk everybody through. If you've been following our Quick Start process, and I enrolled everybody in our Quick Start process about 2 months ago. And those are the emails that you've been getting every probably 2 or 3 days that say Quick Start in the title, big capital letters. One of the systems, one of the strategies for operating the martial arts school that you'll be looking at and analyzing and implementing in the school, hopefully, is what we would consider to be, I guess, the most efficient current model for maximizing profitability in martial arts schools through the programs that you offer. And that model in general, there are a lot of different models. And as you would have learned in the Quick Start series, I walked everybody through, I think, 5 or 6 different models of how to operate your programs. The model that we tend to spend a lot of time on is, certainly it's not appropriate for everyone, but it is what we would consider to be in current times, under current technology, and with current market conditions, the highest leverage model, the model that provides the highest level of profitability per customer in a what we consider a traditional martial arts school, you know, students that are coming 2 or 3 times a week in a traditional type of a program, not meaning a traditional style, but under what we would consider to be the traditional student-instructor relationship, not a health club model, not that type of a model, but a more rigid, structured school, right? And the point is, the model that we've been walking through in that process is about enrolling a student, putting them into a core program, And then at some time in that core program, they have the ability to ascend, to move to higher levels of training or higher level experiences. And I wanted to spend just a couple of minutes walking through some of those logistics today for two purposes only. One is that if you're following that type of a model, if you're implementing that type of a model in your school, again, number one, it really is the highest profitability. You know, it's one of the highest profit levers that you can have in your martial arts school. But right now at the end of the year, we're going through something that we call the renewal blitz. And if you're new on the line or if you're just getting through the quick start process, this is where at the end of the year we put a hyper focus on any students that are in our core program, sort of in the lower level program, in the initial program that they enrolled in. We're putting a lot of focus on moving them to the next level, on moving those folks to, in our model, I guess, in our vernacular, we have an orientation program that almost all students enroll in initially, and then in that orientation program, we're, you know, our objective is somewhere between 2 weeks and 2 or 3 months, typically, to ascend, you know, 80% of the students to something that we call our leadership program. So they're moving from an orientation program at a couple of $100 a month to our leadership program, which is, you know, $359, $379 a month, something like that, right? So that's kind of like part of the process. And again, it's much, much more detailed than that. There are a lot of strategies and systems and tools and paradigms and things like that that you really have to be focused on to get that to work right. But the point is this. This tends to be the highest leverage type of a model. And right now at the end of the year is a great opportunity for us to, again, what we call a renewal blitz. We go through all of the people who are in that core program or in that initial program who haven't renewed yet, who haven't upgraded yet. And we put a real focus on getting that to happen. And we have lots of reasons for that, lots of pieces of leverage and things like that we've gone through many times before. But all I wanted to focus on today were results. And Master Oliver, I know that you're with us, and we had some really interesting results from the Westminster School, from the Sterling School, from the school in California, from schools in, you know, in Florida, all over the country, who are operating under this type of a model, who are implementing this type of a model. And I just wanted to share some of those results and to say this. For anyone on the call, if you think that this type of a model, if your school right now isn't performing at the level that you want it to, right? If for some reason you're not accomplishing the types of results that we're going to talk about, then I would suggest two things. Number one is, you know, make sure that you get yourself through all that quick start material so that you've got a really good sense of what the structure looks like. And then two, you know, the peak performer and the inner circle level programs are designed to help you go implement all that stuff, right? Kind of the way I think about it is the Maximum Impact program is sort of like enrolling in a martial arts classroom. You get group instruction, you have the positive peer group, you know, around you all kind of rolling in the same direction. It's kind of like enrolling in martial arts classes. The peak performer or the inner circle level, which is based on your current revenue, peak performers are under $40,000 a month. Inner circle members are over $40,000 a month. If enrolling in those types of programs is like enrolling in a martial arts class and enrolling in private lessons at the same time, right? Where not only do you get the group environment, you get, you know, all of the tools and resources that all of our members get, but you also have either myself or Master Oliver helping you implement all this stuff in your specific situation. And some people really need that extra help. They really need that you know, trained eye, that trained but not, I almost want to say dispassionate eye, but, you know, that objective eye looking over their shoulder, helping them to implement these strategies. Because every school is slightly different. Every group of students have different needs, different, you know, they've been framed differently. They have different thinking. And it is very useful to sort of tweak and tune these systems to your specific market, your specific style, your specific type of school. And that's really what we do in those levels. We're working one-on-one with those folks to help them, you know, take their school to the next level, but to help tell do it in their specific way, right? So the only point I wanted to make about this, and Mr. Oliver, I know you wanted to walk through some of these results. The only point I wanted to make was this. If you're not currently having great financial results from your school, you're really missing the boat. Right now is a prime peak time to be setting new records in your school. And if you're just simply not doing that, then I would proffer that there's something missing. There's something in your model. There's something in your current operation, your current organization, the way you have things structured. There's something that's just not clicking well on all cylinders. Mr. Robert, as an example, you just had in the Westminster School just one deal that was sort of rushing its way to get to the Thanksgiving deadline was a $33,000, you know, leadership deal. Maybe you could expand on that and you know, kind of give some examples of some of the results we're seeing all over the place because of this type of a system.
Well, yeah, and maybe to expand on what you said a minute ago is I talked to a lot of schools that, you know, are past the barrier in their mind of having a higher level program. So they now have a black belt club and a leadership program or a black belt club and something else. And as we've talked about on a couple of previous calls, and we sent everybody a letter that hopefully they read it, a bright yellow piece of paper that talks about some of the massive improvements coming the first of the year. But what we're providing is the Black Belt Club program curriculum and not physical curriculum, but the support materials. And we're launching a new leadership program that goes between Black Belt Club and Gold Team. And Gold Team guidance on leadership development is really more intended for the assistant instructor program. But where a lot of schools end up with is they got the idea of doing a quote-unquote upgrade, but then what they do is, you know, they do a six-month enrollment for $120, and then the upgrade is $130, and there's something else that's $140. And I really see, there are several models out there where it becomes a nickel-and-diming the student to death game. And then on the other hand, there's a lot of people who have an upgrade system in place, but it's purely about physical stuff. So it's purely about what other, you know, physical things, or you get to come more times a week or something. And it really doesn't have a very comprehensive curriculum. And what we've been recommending for Inner Circle Peak Performers, Maximum Impact members for quite a while, just to reiterate, is I believe you can have the initial enrollment number. In most places, you should be able to be anywhere from 169 a month up to maybe 297 a month as the initial enrollment. We've seen even higher than that, but I think almost everybody is timid about price point. Now, clearly, you have to have high level of service, and you have to have a good presentation, and you've got to convince them of value and so forth, but pretty much everybody is too timid about that. Then the upgrade, again, our standard recommendation is that from whatever your initial enrollment price is, you can have the higher level program, and in this case, the leadership program, is about double. So if you go from 149, it could be 297, and if you go from 197, it could be 397. And we've seen that work just fine. And then typically we have a fallback, which is a Black Belt Club. And that fallback is maybe a 50% bump from what they were paying initially. So from 150, they go to 225 for Black Belt Club. From 200, they go to a little under 300. And usually we make the, you know, rather than say 300, it's 297. And rather than say 180, it's 179. But in those ranges, you think of what you are charging for the initial enrollment. Nobody on the call should be less than $140, $150 a month for a new enrollment. And frankly, that's probably being too conservative. But then the higher level upgrade can be about double. And the intermediate, and I call it a fallback position, because really we're selling the high program, and then we're falling back purely for financial reasons in most cases to the lower level. Can be about a 50% bump from where they started. And then within that structure is you certainly should have option one, they pay for it monthly over maybe the entire term of the program. Option two, there's an accelerated option. So if it's a 48-month program, there's a 24-month payment plan, and they save a little bit of money, and it accelerates the tuition that you receive but essentially it doubles the monthly payment without them perceiving that they're paying double for the program. And for some people, that's the first way to start with this kind of aggressive approach is they take a four-year program that used to be 170, and now they make it 24 payments of 350 as the intermediate step. And then what they figure out is once they get people to pay 350, they now make it 48 payments of 350. And then the next step is you offer a 24-month payment plan at 650 and a 48-month payment plan at 350, and then that works just fine as well. Does that all make sense so far?
No, absolutely. So let me bounce back on something there. So if you're looking at our systems, the NATMA, all the stuff behind the NATMA password, you know, and it's going to look slightly different, you know, as of the first of the year. But here's the vocabulary, here's the language that we would use, you know, specific to what we're doing, is initially students would come in and enroll on something that I really like the word orientation. Some people call it a basic program, whatever the case is, but, you know, some kind of an orientation program.
Yeah, a trial enrollment.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that too. The next level up would be the National Black Belt Club. The National Black Belt Club really only serves as a fallback position for people who can't quite make it into the NATMA Leadership Program. And the NATMA Leadership Program is something that has never existed before.
Which is mostly purely a financial objection. So if you start pricing it right, you will price some people out of being able to afford the leadership program, and you need a fallback.
Exactly. So if you, we've over the last few weeks and over the next couple, we're finishing a lot of this work, but we're rebuilding all of the quote old infrastructure, meaning the National Black Belt Club. In fact, I'm looking right now at the National Black Belt Club material, and after the first of the year, it's really interesting because what will happen is we're going to help support you at the student level at a very high level from now on moving forward. So, for example, as additional benefits of your National Black Belt Club in your school, we're going to help provide a bunch of stuff for your students. So each time a student enrolls in that program, we've got the National Black Belt Club kit that they get. They get a certificate and a letter from us and a membership card and a patch and all this other stuff, right? Stuff that you don't have to worry about in inventory and all that other stuff, right? We can just drop ship it and they go straight to you. And then the same thing happens at the leadership level. But here's the important distinction from here to four. The leadership program is all about lots and lots of cool physical curriculum that, of course, you're gonna make decisions about and, you know, how you're gonna implement that. It's also about a high level of interpersonal and leadership skills development. And we're going to help you deliver that in a huge way. So, again, next year you're going to see a lot of how all this stuff lays out, but we're going to help you with website support and videos that your students watch and, words of the week type, you know, leadership lessons of the week type material, things that you can just plug and play directly into your program that are all supported at a national level, international level, frankly, that the students now feel like they're anchored into something even bigger than just the local instructor. So that helps you with scaling of it. But the point of that is just this, and this is the only reason I wanted to reiterate this. The initial program is something like an orientation program. The next level up is the National Black Belt Club, which takes the student to black belt and beyond, but it's designed only as a fallback. The level above that is the NATMA Leadership Program, and that, again, that's a huge amount of non-physical curriculum that relates to these leadership skills. So, again, there are a lot of details to that we're going to get to, but just as a matter of structure, that's how this looks. So don't get confused. The gold team, Guidance on Leadership Development, sits above and kind of parallel to all of that. That's basically an instructor development program. So again, get the distinction. The quote-unquote leadership program isn't solely focused on creating, again, quote-unquote, instructors. A lot of folks would love to enjoy the benefits of a leadership program, but becoming a martial arts instructor isn't necessarily, you know, a big priority of theirs, right? So the genius behind separating those two modules is that you're going to be reaching a wider market with the leadership curriculum not framed as just an instructor program. We have the instructor material as well, but that's separate, right? So that's a whole other opportunity for you that we'll be walking through. So if you look at it on a spreadsheet, and I'm actually going to put a spreadsheet together for you right now. Initial enrollment is orientation. The intended upgrade would be leadership. The fallback position would be the National Black Belt Club. And then in addition to all of that, we also have an instructor certification program that's called the Gold Team that is a whole separate thing, right? So just as a matter of vocabulary and framing, that's how we're looking at all of this. So when you start seeing a lot of these new systems, like the National Black Belt Club program and the leadership curriculum and the Gold Team material, that you'll be able to kind of keep all that straight and know exactly how all that flows.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that you and I encounter a lot is, you know, in our higher levels especially, we end up with an awful lot of people that are, you know, personality-wise similar to us, which is good or bad, but pretty analytic. And the problem with being pretty analytic is sometimes you can spend 2 years trying to put something together that's already done for you. And the key element in really launching your school is to really have a ready, fire, aim approach, and in some cases, it's a ready, fire, aim approach, but not to get stuck in, you know, ready, fire, aim. And the ready, fire, aim is you go do something where the worst-case scenario is you lost a couple of hours of time and you lost a little bit of money experimenting. And the ready, aim, fire is just taking something that's already proven to work and going and getting out in the field. I remember I was just doing a recommendation for Tim Kovar for a position he's looking at, and I remember a comment he made years ago. He said to me one time, he said, "Well, you know what really pisses me off about you?" I said, "What's that?" He goes, "You know, anytime that we're brainstorming and have ideas, and especially anytime you hear a good idea from me, you implement it before we do." And it's the right approach is you want to not have the not invented here syndrome. What you do want to do is you want to go implement things that are proven to work and not get bogged down into spending a ton of time getting paralysis through analysis. The other thing, and you and I cover this a lot too, is let's say you're taking somebody from a trial enrollment or a orientation enrollment to a leadership program, is what a lot of school owners labor on incessantly and ridiculously is how much additional material is in that program. And the key element, frankly, of somebody going from paying $150 a month to $300 or paying $250 a month to $500, or writing you a check like we just talked about for $33,000, is it's about first them making the decision they're really going to stick with you and get to their black belt. That, I mean, that's the first most important thing, and you've got to give them the vision and help them set goals and future pace them unseen about how the thing is. But mostly it's about they've decided they like you, they're comfortable with you, they're comfortable with the people in your school, and they're happy to be in the school training when they're there. Then the second element of it is it's more about the interpersonal, the mental, emotional development that they're going to go through than it is about all of a sudden you're teaching more stuff. And so it doesn't have to be, and we always encourage, like, leadership upgraded. It's not about private lessons. It's not about I come unlimited number of classes, or I go from twice a week to three times a week or four times a week. All that stuff shoots you in the foot. It's about the vision of they get a black belt, and it's a vision about all of the skill set they're going to learn. And maybe to explain that a little more, in that infomercial that we did from Highlight Karate for the upgrade, is somewhere in there I explained how we think about it, which I stole, blatantly stole this from Stephen Covey. I twisted it a little bit, but, in Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he calls it the leadership continuum. So the first three habits take you from dependent to independent. the next three habits take you from deep in, from independent to interdependent, and the seventh habit is sharpen the saw, in other words, renew and refresh. And the way I've explained it to people is the process to getting to black belt is there are four levels that we can take you through. Is the first is learning how to be truly an independent self-starter. So for a child, that means you don't have to give them rewards to get an A in school, and you don't have to supervise to make sure they're not doing drugs. They do the right things because they want to do it, and they're independently motivated to be successful. The second thing is we learn how to, the first thing is we learn how to be a really good student. The second thing is we learn how to be an independent, self-motivated self-starter, which is a huge impact. The third thing is we learn how to be an effective team member and work interactively and effectively with other people. And the fourth thing, we learn how to truly exhibit first small team leadership skills and then public speaking and stage presence in front of people, which strangely enough is the number one fear of people in the United States. And so our leadership program takes you through all four, and our Black Belt Club only takes you through the first two. So the leadership program is teaching independent team skills, is teaching small group leadership skills. Ultimately, it's teaching skills, and ultimately it's teaching public speaking and public performance skills. And see, none of that is about you get to learn sticks, you get to learn knives, you get to learn, some new choke, you get to do, kickboxing rather than point sparring. None of that stuff is about physical stuff. You got to bait with a little bit of here's cool stuff you get to do. But when it's all purely about physical stuff, what happens is now you've got an upgrade where it's worth going from 150 to 170 rather than it's worth going from 200 to 400.
That's exactly right. So again, it's the strategy of, I call it decommoditizing, what it is that you do. And mm-hmm. and when you're looking for the highest level of leverage in the martial arts school, and there's a reason we're spending so much time on this today, right? I mean this is a critical factor, and we've probably beat this horse pretty much to death. But here's the big difference in the mind of a customer, in the mind of a student. I heard a great quote today that is, you bait the hook with the bait the fish wants, not the hook, not the bait that the fisherman likes. Right.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's a big shift in paradigm in a lot of cases. What we're trying to do to have the highest leverage in our business is to provide something that the customer feels is of such enormous value that they're willing to exchange what they consider to be a fraction of that amount of money for. Mm-hmm. So again, if all they're getting, if they enroll in an orientation program, and they're coming twice a week, and they're learning kicks and punches and stick and whatever, right? Well, adding slightly more kicks and punches, adding slightly cooler sticks and knives, is only slightly more valuable in the average customer's mind, right? But solving a bigger set of problems for that customer. If that person came in the door and they were initially worried that Johnny was, barely going to be successful in school. God, he might not even graduate high school, for God's sakes. Forget college, right? If that's what they're thinking, and we can get them into our program and start turning that around, and they start seeing results pretty quickly, and they start seeing, man, Johnny, not only can he be successful at something, he can be really successful at something. Now they start asking themselves another set of questions. Well, now that we see that there is some potential, right, we see that this person has more opportunity, how can we push it? How can we get them involved in something that's going to help them maximize that potential, maximize their life, right? So that's what this is an answer to. This isn't just, I love Roland Osborne to death, but, the next version of XMA isn't worth two times the tuition for most people as what they're currently paying to already do some cool kicks and flips, right? But to learn a new set of emotional skills, a new set of developmental skills. And the last thing I'll say about that, by the way,
I would soften that only slightly. I would say that regardless of what style you teach, it's extremely useful year four, year five, year six of a student to have some things that feel and look completely different. So if you're a grappling style, you know, knife, you know, having a higher level knife defense or having stick curriculum, if you're a Taekwondo style, having the, you know, the flips and the XMA or hyper stuff is useful. Although that's only useful for the, you know, the kids and teenagers, you know. In the adult curriculum, last thing you want to do is have them all blowing out their knee when they're grown up. But it is useful to in year 3, 4, and 5 to have something that looks and feels completely different to pull their, you know, their interest further on. Although I can counterpoint even that argument, the school that I have seen over my life that has the absolute best retention that I've ever seen of any school in the history of the world that I can figure out is Buzz Durkin, who has the absolutely most boring curriculum that I've ever seen. You know, I think over 10 years they learned 4 traditional Okinawan forms or something. But it's all about relationship, and it's about, I mean, he's got the biggest 5th and 6th degree black belt training class probably of anybody. And it's not about all that stuff. But I always perceive, especially in our context with multi-locations, that having something completely different, year 3, 4, and 5 is useful. Kali for kids is useful for that, or hyper is useful for that, or something else, as long as it's not something that's going to turn them off. Taking Taekwondo students and now making them Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu students doesn't work. Kids, soccer moms with Range Rovers, and suddenly they're doing knife fighting, that doesn't work. I mean, you've got to be real aware of perception-wise. But just, yeah. I just want to throw that in.
Yeah. No, yeah, there's no question.
You're exactly
and I tend to be hyper, hypercritical, I think, on that side of the fence when it comes to the physical curriculum needs of a new student, because, I mean, really, if really what we want is mastery, what we want them to do is learn less things and be better at them, rather than learn more things and not be and be crappy at all of them, right? So that's a whole other personality, you know, issue I have. Let me say one last thing on that, is this. If you look at the maturity continuum, the leadership continuum that you just laid out, independence to first we start off as dependent. We move to independence, then to interdependence, right? That's sort of that, you know, as Covey lays that out. If you parallel the West Point way of leadership, you know, by our friend Larry Donathorne, we talk about this a lot, so I hate to repeat myself, but if you overlay the 4 passes that cadets go through at West Point, and the typical West Point education, Mr. Oliver, is worth what? $275,000? How much?
Oh, at least.
Do you remember?
At least.
I think it was $275,000 or $285,000. If you marginalized all the, like, the costs, I think it was something like almost $300,000 for 4 years, and that didn't include a bunch of the other stuff that they were doing. So anyway, it's a very, you know, very expensive education. But so if you were to take the 4 years of West Point, the character side of their curriculum, and layer it over top of that maturity continuum, that leadership continuum you just described, it would only add, you know, one layer, which is executive leadership, leading other leaders, right? And again, so if you look at the 4 passes at West Point, the curriculum that we're building for you, the mental and non-physical curriculum that we're building for you in the NAPMA leadership program follows those 4 years. So again, it's moving from dependence to independence, then to interdependence, meaning being a good team member, then one-to-one leadership, meaning being responsible for another person's results, not just your own, right, which is a big paradigm shift for people. Then it's small group leadership or group leadership. Then it's executive leadership, leading other leaders. So this is kind of how that program will look for you. So think about how different that conversation is with the mom of a 9-year-old or with the upscale executive chief operating officer or, you know, vice president of a company or manager of, you know, owner of 7 Subways or something like that. Think about how different that conversation is in an enrollment conference or a renewal conference than, oh, by the way, they also get to do flippy things and use these cool weapons, right?
Yeah.
Now, again, and not to marginalize the curriculum, but just think about how different the value proposition that you're making is, okay? So just for frame's sake, that's what we're going to be As you look at next year, a lot of the new systems and tools that you'll be getting will help you not only further that argument, but help you actually deliver that content to your students. So let me give you just one teaser of that. wouldn't it be cool if all of your students got, a high-level, the Five Keys to Wealth and Happiness seminar from Tony Robbins, designed specifically for martial artists, right? And so each of those are five separate lessons that all of your leadership program students now get, right? So in February, all of your leadership students get an email and a text message and a flyer from the school and a video that you play maybe even in the classroom that is Tony, who, again, a lot of the more successful people in your school are going to know, talking specifically to martial artists, teaching them for you, right? So you now have Tony Robbins as one of your faculty in your martial arts academy for your leadership students. I mean, that's pretty powerful, right? And what about Brian Tracy? And how about, you know, Larry Donathorne from West Point Way? And how about two former presidents? How about, right, how about these types of facilitators to help you not only, quote-unquote, sell the program, but to deliver the material to the students? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So we're pretty excited about that.
And I think there are two elements that certainly merit addressing. One is we have a huge number of, and some of the most successful MMA schools in the world now are Inner Circle or Peak Performers, soon to be Inner Circle Apprentice members, right? And including, I guess I should address separately, high-level Krav Maga schools and high-level kickboxing schools. They're all a little bit different, but we have an awful lot of schools that are predominantly or exclusively adult-focused, and an awful lot of them that are perceived as hardcore Krav Maga or perceived as hardcore MMA schools. And the upgrade levels, the leadership training, all of that is at least as relevant to them as it is for a kids program. And some portion of those people start by thinking, and of course most of the industry stays there, is they think that if I'm teaching adult men or if I'm teaching adult women, then I should just look around at what fitness centers are doing and that's what I should be doing, which is a horrible way to run your business. But at those levels, for those people, especially as you move, let's say for an adult program, as you move to the 28 to 40-year-old college-educated professionals, is they don't come in the front door with the same, let's call it, enticement. See, a mom of a seven-year-old will come to you for their child to have positive self-esteem and confidence and all those buzzwords. A adult usually doesn't walk in the front door acknowledging that that's what they're looking for. But it doesn't take them very long to start seeing that that's really what they're going to accomplish. And frankly, if you look around at, if you look at Amazon or you look at Barnes & Noble, there's any number of books now that are, the mental skill set of SEAL Team 6 and the mental training of a warrior and obviously West Point Way Leadership and a lot of other similar books. There's an awful lot of that now. And, with the Bin Laden situation and so forth, everybody's, hyped on SEALs, and there's a really good movie out right now, the Captain Phillips movie. There's two or three others that are coming out. But you ask anybody, and they're not going to think that the reason that the SEALs are so capable is just because they know hardcore fighting skills. It's all about their mental fortitude. It's about their focus. And frankly, if you read about those guys in the Delta and so forth, is they're mostly very highly educated and they're all very intelligent, and they're there because of their mental fortitude. And in fact, their training process is all about developing mental fortitude and weeding out those who don't have it. It's a very easy thing to explain to an adult man who's 32, and just because you're teaching Krav Maga or Muay Thai or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or whatever, or cardio kickboxing, doesn't mean they don't want that. And also, at that level, it's even more perceived value for them than it is for the kids.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And by the way, our challenge is only slightly different than the SEALs challenge, whereas their challenge is to weed out the ones who don't have high levels of character and mental toughness and make improvements upon them. Our challenge obviously is not. Our challenge isn't to just weed out all the weak ones so that all of our black belts are, you know, already had it, right? Our challenge is to develop those skills in people, and I think that's why our thing is much more valuable, right? You know, our thing is about taking someone from point A to point B, and we can do it in a way that almost nothing else can. You know, we have this repetitive contact with people over a long period of time to really be able to reinforce and to create real character development, real character change.
And again, very, very parallel to what West Point accomplishes over a similar period of time. Yeah, it's a great model. They're taking the average, you know, relatively arrogant, relatively accomplished high school senior and teaching them how to be humble, focused, character-driven leaders of people. So it's very, very, very similar. But let's go back to dollars and cents here. Is you had mentioned the that one check that we had emailed around to a lot of the higher-level members to see. Is that was, I forget the exact amount, but it's approximately $33,000. And what that was for is it was one paid in full for one family, mother-son, for a leadership program. And I used to have this conversation internal to the EFC board of directors and the higher-level EFC people many years ago. And I mentioned this on our inner circle call, but you know, people would come up to me all the time when they would see something like that, and they say, how the hell do you get anybody to write a check for, you know, for whatever that the amount's for at the time? The last one of those I personally did was $27,000. And Keith Hafner, you know, we've been close friends for many years, he would, like, stand beside me, and he would, you know, put his hand over my mouth and say, I can tell you the answer. I can tell you what he's going to say. And the, okay, Keith, what am I going to say? He goes, you got to ask. and that's exactly right. I mean, nobody ever pays you, frankly, they don't pay, you know, 25 cents, much less 30 or 30,000 or 40,000 or 50,000 without first asking. And Toby, you remember we were looking at that private lesson program one time, and I forget his name, but he was actually – for private lesson packages, asking people for $100,000. And Bill Clark and I and you had the conversation one time of, you know, wasn't anything organized about the program. It wasn't structured well. Nobody knew what the hell it was, but he sure had the cojones to ask. And that's exactly right.
Which, by the way, it was Sanku King. And by the way, there's absolutely nothing in the deliverable of that program that everybody is not doing in their school right now. There was nothing unique about it whatsoever. The uniqueness of the program was in how he selected the market and marketed to the right people. That's all there was, right? He went and found the doctors and attorneys, and, you know, that's all.
And how he developed the leadership program, so most of the instructors were volunteers doing the training for $500, you know, $500 an hour, whatever it turned out to be. That's the part I like. You know, on one hand, an awful lot of the instructors were volunteers. On the other hand, they was charging a reasonable tuition rate for it. But anyway, do we have any Q&A on this topic? I had two or three other things that I think are extremely useful for everybody before we go into the holidays. But I don't want us to miss the questions you've been asked, the questions anybody else has in the call. What I would say, kind of in summary on this renewablist thing, and for all the peak form inner circles, we have a ton of teleconferences we've done and content that if you search Blitz in the member site, you'll find it, and you can go back through it. But I guess the main thing I would remind everybody is December can certainly be your highest cash month of the year. It doesn't have to be a slow month. If you haven't really kicked this stuff off quickly and aggressively, you're already running out of time. So you got to get with it. And you've got to not be timid. You've got to be very, very, very focused, very aggressive about it. And the way I ended up stumbling across this was it was Jeff Smith's idea probably 30 years ago. But the way I started thinking about it was a multi-school operation is we always had an awful lot of renewals that hadn't gotten done on schedule. And this was now our opportunity, twice a year. We did it in the spring as well, but it was our opportunity to really focus all the schools on having record months. And I could give them 10 days or 2 weeks vacation time over the holidays, and I could build extremely big cash bonuses. And we got to the point where the top guys, which was usually 120 or 140 or 160,000 cash in 6 weeks, not inclusive of their billing results, would get a Rolex. So I've given out a number of Rolex Explorers, Submariners, Datejust for hitting high results. And the ID I stole from Domino's Pizza, by the way. But it was a time when I could really focus all the staff on working harder than they'd ever worked for about 2.5 weeks, and then having a week and a half or 2 weeks off. And then so a lot of it is about expectations. You may have a little bit of difficulty in December having advertising and your external marketing work really well because people are a little distracted, but they're also, every one of your students is in the habit of whipping out the credit card every time they turn around and writing a check every time they turn around. And there's nothing better for a parent to buy for their child for Christmas than the leadership program. So it's a time when they're in the mood to spend money. They're in the process of spending money. They're going to spend it with somebody. They might as well spend it with you. It certainly doesn't have a more tangible benefit than the new PS2 or whatever else they're going to buy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, absolutely. And you know, I kind of hate to beat the same horse again, but here's how we kind of structure what we're doing with folks inside the Nano membership base. For Maximum Impact members, you know, really all the tools are there for you, right? The done-for-you words of the week lessons, the newsletters, all these things are kind of there for you. What we tend to find is that launching a new program like a leadership program tends to be complex enough that we can accelerate the process pretty dramatically if we're working with that person one-on-one more directly, right? It's something that, if implemented inappropriately, can be ugly, you know? So you've got to make sure you've got the right strategy and the right pieces of the puzzle. But the long story of it is, if you have a single linear program in your school, if people enroll when they first start with you and they just kind of continue on that same path forever, you're missing a lot of opportunity. And it's not about bait and switch. It's not about being disingenuous. It's in fact very much the opposite. It's about being, you know, very open and honest about how the program works, about what the objectives of the programs are, and about getting people really, really invested in what you're doing, you know, psychologically. They really believe in the outcomes and in the material. It's, again, it's such a much different conversation than, you know, you just get to learn more kicks and punches, or you get to learn just a cooler form, or you get to, you know, use this cool weapon. But even if that's your only USP, even if that's what you're limited to, that still works okay, to tell you the truth. You know, you can still make that work, but I just prefer to have a higher level of service, you know. So it's just something to kind of be considering, I think. You know, really take a hard look at what the business model looks like, your current model, how students move through your programs. And if you're not enjoying, my numbers are always this, Mr. Albright, you know, I glean the ratios from modeling your guys and many others that follow a similar model. If you're not currently grossing at least $200 to $250 per student per month on average, then we should really talk about it. We should really figure out how to fix that. So if you take your total gross, if you're grossing $30,000 a month, if you have 200 students, well, let me do easy math. If you have 300 students and you're grossing $30,000 a month, that means that each student's only worth $100 a month on average, right? So by my estimation, at minimum with 300 students, you should be grossing $60,000 a month, at minimum, right? So if you've got 100 students, you should be at least $20,000 a month.
The other approach is extremely difficult to make a profit. You and I have spoken to, and you know, without speaking ill of anybody, the, you know, the typical Maya approach at this point with Frank Silverman is the, you know, McDojo, McDonald's, Walmart thing is, you know, if you're running 700 active, but only grossing 70,000, or if you're running 400 active and only grossing 40,000, I mean, it's extremely hard to make a profit. The amount of square footage you need, the number of people you need, and at the higher levels of volume, you also have attrition problems. So you need even more people to pay attention, follow up, stay on top of it, and it just is, it's a no-win cycle. And you and I both talk to people every day who say, yeah, I've got 300 students, so I just had 600, I'd be making a ton of money. But if they do it in the model that they're following, what happens is they just end up with multiplying the problem that they already have. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I actually agree. Here would be some benchmarks. And let me start at the low end and work my way up, just as a matter of frame for everybody. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm trying to give you a sense of what our real objectives are as an association, as an organization to help you with this stuff. If you're 100 students, you should be at minimum at about 20,000 to 25,000 a month. You should be netting 100 to 150,000 personal income per year.
Mm-hmm.
200 students, you should be grossing 40 to 50,000 a month. You should be netting somewhere around 250 a year. If you're at
that net number is going to vary a little bit based upon personal choice on how involved somebody is on the day-to-day versus how much they staff it up. But clearly, if you're not able to bring 50% to the bottom line, you've got a problem. And at the lower levels, it's just completely impossible.
And that really is one of the big advantages of this business as a business model. If you look at, and you know, you and I met over the last couple of weeks, did some benchmarking and some brainstorming, and we looked at Lifetime Fitness and a few other big fitness chains, and you know, we looked at a lot of other models that are similar to what we're doing. And the interesting thing about our particular business as a business model is that with very low overhead, very low startup cost, and relatively low brain damage, for lack of a better description, right? You don't have to have a lot of software infrastructure and, you know, people and all sorts of things like that. This can be a very profitable business. I mean, there's no reason in the world anybody on this call shouldn't be at least, you know, $150,000 to $200,000 a year personal income, I mean, foundationally. So, again, my estimation is this. If you're not hitting that at least $200 per student per month number, at least, I mean, that's like a foundation, 100 students, 20,000 a month, 100, 150 a year personal, 200 students, 40,000 a month, 250 a year personal, 300 students, 60,000 a month, probably 350, you know, a year personal, something like that. If that's not what your model looks like right now, you know, we need to talk about it.
Yeah, we need to fix it. Let's throw one other thing in the mix there, by the way, is it's not just about, you know, people sometimes hear that and they say, oh, I couldn't charge $200 a month for lessons. And it's not purely about that. It's about the down payment, accelerated tuition, paid in full. It's the total gross average revenue per student.
Let me interject one thing. There are seven specific systems that we have that can get you there. It's not just about an upgrade. It's not just about paid in full. It's not just we have seven specific strategies that we can help you with.
Having just come back from the EFC convention, the other thing that I see a lot of is people being out of balance on where their cash is coming from. So we interacted with a bunch of schools who are doing $29,000 a month, $28,000 of it is in their billing check. And they're afraid to do down payments. They're afraid to do paid in fulls. They're afraid to do deferred payments. Everything is coming in billing. And there are two pieces to it. You absolutely want to have the biggest possible billing check you can. And you want it to cover all of your rent, all of your expenses, all of your, you know, payroll, your personal, you know, everything. Really, when the billing check comes in, you should be at break even plus something, and hopefully, you know, including paying yourself. But the other side of it is if you get it much beyond a 50-50 balance, meaning if you gross $40,000 a month and you have $30,000-$35,000 a month in cash at the school, you're living hand-to-mouth, you're peaking and valleying, that's a bad scenario. On the other hand, if you're grossing $40,000 a month and you've got $39,000 a month or $38,000 or $35,000 in the billing check, you really should be grossing more like $70,000. And there are some people who are being preconditioned when they hear a number like we threw around earlier in the call of a big paid in full. Is what they think is, they think, oh, that's just cashing everybody out and that's just, you know, that and that's unethical or something like that. Well, it's not at all. If you're providing the highest possible quality service, you're truly delivering what you promise, you're truly balancing out your revenue sources. In other words, all your bills are paid on the first day of the month when the billing check comes in, then all of the cash deals should just be pure net profit. And something that Nick Kokinas used to preach, I mean, 30 years ago, he called it the contingent liability fund. And what he would say is, you know, that $30,000 check comes in, you put it in a savings account, and you, if it's a deal for 4 years, every year you can spend a quarter of it, but you're putting it in there because you have to provide the service over the over a future period of time. And I agree with that. In reality, as long as you're balancing it out right, you're then going to maximize your results. And so you need to balance that out.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's the whole point is about, you know, making things as easy as possible to be as profitable as possible. You know, it's about leverage. So yeah, I agree.
I would add one third thing. It's about making your lifestyle as simple as possible, making the profitability both for yourself and for, you know, your longtime loyal, capable staff as strong as possible, and then it's about having as positive an impact as you can for your community in general and your students in specific. And so you've got to be constantly focused on having as positive an impact for your students as possible, as positive an impact on your community as possible. But you're not doing anybody any favors by being broke and doing that. You've got to have both pieces in place. You've got to have high profitability. You've got to have continuing to minimize the level of brain damage that you have to go through to get there, making it sustainable for yourself. And then the next piece of that is you've got to be continually focused on having a positive impact on your students and the community. And, you know, my argument would certainly be that you don't do that by just purely making everything physical. You do that by truly developing people of high character and truly having them be very successful in anything they do, so that this is just one more component of that in developing their lifestyle. So let's shift to some questions, and I've got a couple short topics that I wanted to hit before we ring off totally for the day, but you said you had some questions by email, or if anybody has any questions, what do they do? Hit star 6?
Yes, star 6, absolutely.
Yeah. So anybody has any questions they want to ask live, and while they're doing that, what were some of the questions you had by email already?
Well, I had Pete had sent over, and unfortunately I addressed him on the Inner Circle call the other day, but not realizing that he actually wasn't on the call. But there is, so let me just answer it in general. It's internet strategy and marketing centric. Here's the general question is, there's a do-it-yourself intranet, do-it-yourself website program up on the members website. And it's a series of, I think, 8 or 9 videos. It's very comprehensive. It basically will show you click by click how to build your own website and optimize it for Google, things like that. And his question basically in general was, you know, since Google changes its algorithms all the time, is that still current, right? Mm-hmm. And the short answer is yes. Basically, the framework that we built these sites on is a framework called WordPress. It's a free and open source platform that once you get the thing set up, it's pretty easy for you to maintain. You can update pages whenever you want, things like that. and add, you know, add blog posts, all sorts of things like that, and it's free. The deal is that WordPress built on a platform that's already sort of search engine optimized. So it's set up sort of out of the box with only a couple of tweaks the way Google really wants to see a web page, a website built. So we're building on a platform, on a framework that is very search engine friendly. With those couple of tweaks that I taught everybody in the videos, it's even more so. And the new algorithm that Google, they adjust their algorithm about 10 times a year, and they have one major release twice a year. And the last major release was called Hummingbird, and it doesn't change none of the releases for the foreseeable future, nor in the past, have really changed the fundamental understanding of how Google looks at your website. It's looking for keyword density. It's looking to deliver that page to the person who's looking for it. You know, it wants to deliver to the user what they're looking for. So as long as your page is set up, you know, in that way, we call it white hat, right? So it's optimized the way, you know, legitimately. It's not, you know, black hat search engine optimization would be kind of like sneaking stuff in there. We used to do, you know, at the bottom of the page, we would put a big black section, and then in black text on the black section, just repeat your keywords 100,000 times,
yeah,
right?
Keyword spamming under the photo, et cetera.
Exactly, yeah, keyword stuffing, or key, yeah, exactly, yeah. And now, see, Google catches on to all that stuff relatively quickly. So what the platform that I taught everybody is totally white hat. It's totally, you can't say legitimate or not legitimate, I guess, but.
Yeah, well, it's stuff that they're not at some point going to delist you entirely because they perceive it to be search engine spam.
Right,
and
exactly.
They clearly will do that. If you get too aggressive on search engine optimization, you can get great placement and then get caught. And their ability through the algorithms, the one thing or another, without a human being ever looking at it, to catch that kind of stuff is pretty scary deep right now. So, you know, that's why what the community refers to as white hat versus black hat systems is it's really doing the stuff that Google likes versus doing the stuff that works on Google but they don't like. Because at some point, even if it works right now, the things that they don't like, they're going to figure out a way for the computer to catch it. And
exactly.
And then,
exactly.
Then oftentimes you disappear altogether, which is not a good situation.
Exactly. And again, if you go back and pay attention, especially to the very first video in that series, when I walk through strategy, the whole strategy overview, that strategy, frankly, hasn't changed much since 1993, you know, 1994, right? Now a lot of the little details have, you know, but you know, I'll tell you just
well, that,
for
that. I mean, you and I looked at that first book that I wrote on how to market the internet, and strangely enough, it holds up pretty well even now. I mean, that's over 12 years or 13 years ago. You know, the players have changed. You know, I talked about Overture, which, you know, became Yahoo, which became the model for Google. But it was GoTo back then. But really it holds up pretty well. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, no, that's exactly right. So basically the fundamental understanding is just Google wants people to find what they're looking for, not crap they're not looking for, but they were sophisticated enough to get it in there, right? So this is all about just being transparent. Now the one thing I would say about Hummingbird that is not new but certainly enhanced is Google gives a lot of weight to many things. Two of the most important things, one is the keyword density of the page, meaning how many times the keywords that you want people to find you with are repeated throughout your content appropriately in context, not just stuffed in there, but in appropriate context. So that's primary category. That's a primary category. A secondary category now with the new Hummingbird update is they're giving a lot of credence to links that are coming to your website, people who are linking to your website, whose content is relevant to yours, but also through social. So Facebook and Squidoo, weirdly enough, Squidoo has really high, Google likes to see links from Squidoo. It's really strange. But so I would suggest everybody sets up a Squidoo lens and then link back to your site. But So it's Hummingbird is giving a little bit more credence to social listings. So people who retweet your thing or share your thing on Facebook a lot, your link on Facebook a lot, Google is liking that more and more. But it's not something that really is worth a lot of effort for a local martial arts school. What you want is a lot of keyword optimization, pages that have the right URLs, things like that. Just follow that strategy video and everything will be fine. I just, in fact, did a site for somebody, helped somebody with their site, a client, a week ago, started a week ago, completely changed the site. He was not at all found on the first 10 pages, on the first page of Google at all under any of the keywords. Martial arts in their city name, karate in their city name, taekwondo in their city name. He wasn't found anywhere. In fact, didn't even have a Google listing. So now in 1 week, just with basically everything I showed everybody on the tutorial, in 1 week we now have two listings in the top 10 on martial arts in their town and karate in their town. Now we have a lot more work to do, but just in a week, you know, you can start to see results pretty quickly. So,
without us spending time on it right now, just to reiterate, you know, Google actively discriminates towards its own properties, for good or bad, and I don't see anything wrong with it, other than their near monopoly power in search. But what that means is, I mean, for years now we've known that they like to list YouTube videos because they own YouTube. And we know they're actively working to be able to fend off Facebook with Google Plus. And so Google Plus or Google Places is increasingly important. And ultimately, the Google Places plus local, however it's referred to on any given day, is completely their attempt to really focus on basically becoming the localized search, as it, you know, like Yellow Pages used to be. So if you're not showing up effectively there with lots and lots of positive testimonials, with links back to your website, all that stuff, it's an urgent priority to focus on that.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
But that was basically Pete's question, and the quick answer is all the stuff up there is still good to go. We'll be expanding that series a little bit more, you know, for the first of the year, but it's all the fundamentals are in line.
Okay. And has anybody raised their hand for live questions?
I don't have any hands up yet.
Okay. Well, if there's not, let me touch upon three or four things real quick here before we run out of time. And of course, I think you're okay to stay with them for a while and Q&A if our black belt school owners have the confidence to ask them on an open line here. It is the advantage of our private coaching is a lot of times they're shy about asking questions in a public environment, strangely enough. But here's three things I wanted to touch upon real quick. First of all, and this is just kind of an interesting aside, the movie Wolf of Wall Street is coming out now on Christmas Day. And I haven't seen the movie. I've seen the previews. I've read all the books. I met the person that the movie is about, visited the company the movie was about. And it has some interesting martial arts ties. I'm writing up the December Mile High Maverick right now and giving a little bit of the backstory. But it's really about the excesses of Wall Street, and it's about a gentleman by the name of Jordan Belfort who was, would have been probably personally making 20 or 30 million a year without being crooked and decided he had to be crooked and double it, and then decided he didn't want to give the IRS their due and tried to hide it. And as most of these guys do, he got caught by trying to hide from the tax people more so than anything else. But his interesting martial art tie is Mark Glazer, who was grew up with Danny Shulman and worked his way through American University running a school for the Junior Institute about the time that I moved to Denver and opened my chain of schools. Was college roommates with Jordan Belfort. And later on, Mark went from the Junior Institute back to New York and taught Danny Shulman the Junior E systems. Then at some point they had a little bit of a falling out, and Mark decided to open Master Glacier Karate. And with only about four locations, I think it was, Jordan's firm, Stratton Oakmont, took them public. And if I remember the numbers correctly, I have all this stacked in a file cabinet somewhere, is the company ended up with a public valuation of about $20 million. Mark took out $1 million. My guess is that Jordan ended up taking out maybe $8 million out of the deal. And the company ended up with about $8 million cash in the bank from the IPO. And ultimately, Jordan's deal, which hopefully the movie will explain enough. I mean, it looks very entertaining. It's Martin Scorsese, and it's you know, kind of Goodfellas on Wall Street. But hopefully they'll explain enough that what he was doing is he was taking these companies, running them from, say, I think an IPO price in this case of $8, if I remember correctly, up to $20 million. And then he would dump the shares that he had parked with a friend, because NASDAQ and the other SEC frown on this. It was blatantly illegal. But he would then take the shares that he had parked with a friend and dump them after he had run the share price up. And then after he had dumped his shares, he'd let the company implode, which is exactly
confused a couple numbers there. So he would take he basically had a boiler room full of salespeople, brokers. And they would get a hold of a company Stratton Oakmont, who was trading at $8 a share. He would have like his uncle.
They would take the company public. So in this case, they took a company that maybe on the face of us was worth $1 million, and took them public at $8 a share, which valued it at, let's say, I forget the exact numbers, but let's say it was $10 million. And then they would keep pumping it with, I mean, I forget how many they had when I visited Stratton Oakmont. I think they had 100 brokers in one room. So they would keep pumping the company and run the share price up to, say, $20 a piece. But he would then dump maybe $5 million worth of stock that he had given to a friend of his to hide and hold, dump it into the market, and then after he had dumped all of his shares, some of it which he sold legally at the IPO, many of which he sold illegally post-IPO, he would then just, you know, they would stop promoting the company. So, you know, the share price would typically implode. In this case, the Master Glacier share price went from 8 to 20 to a dollar. And it's still out there somewhere, I think, at, you know, like one-tenth of a penny a share or something like that. But once in a case like this, it'd be like being delisted from the New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ not wanting to deal with it, and nobody's out selling it, is then the share price implodes and there's no market for it. So it's an interesting concept. The thing that I think the movie might be valuable, if you read the two books, The Wolf of Wall Street and Catching a Wolf of Wall Street, the first one is extremely entertaining. And some people will know this reference in the movie Indecent Proposal, the yacht where Robert Redford took Demi Moore, they landed the helicopter on. That was Jordan's yacht, which shortly after the movie was filmed, he ended up sinking it, according to Jordan, by accident, because he was in a drug-induced stupor and took it out in the wrong weather. Speculation was he sunk it for the insurance money. Because it was about a 165-foot yacht that I think he had extended by 20 feet or something. But it's an interesting backstory tied to martial arts. And I was never involved with the IPO or any of that stuff. We were talking about doing a merger at some point after the fact. And as those who know me pretty well would know, I'm pretty academic. I'd gone and looked at 10 different rounds of the IPO documents and so forth, and had concluded that it was crooked, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And then later on, the Fed busted Jordan and pretty clearly outlined. I was going to say the second book is kind of educational, though, because it talks about, from Jordan's perspective, of how he went from basically selling meat out of a truck to being and doing quite well at that, frankly, to starting a stock brokerage, and then how he, you know, multiplied it through 100 different brokers or more than that at one point, Another movie that was written about the same company is the movie Boiler Room. So if you saw the movie Boiler Room, it was based on Stratton Oakmont as well. I believe there's one other, if I remember correctly, but this one's actually based on Jordan's book. So that was one thing. It's kind of as an entertaining aside. So did that all make sense in the end?
You said you had the share price initially and then the value of the company, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah. It was something that the ICO price, because they have 100 brokers pumping it, really had no relationship to the underlying value of the company to begin with. But then they ran it out to all, you know, completely out of proportion with it until he dumped his shares, and then they would, you know, lose interest and go on to the next deal. The second thing I would say, which is extremely important, is you have to put on your schedule three things right now. One is obviously to make December your best month of the year, to make it be a huge cash revenue, to make it be a huge renewal blitz month, and we've talked about that ad nauseum. The second thing is to really sit down with a blank legal pad, especially from Christmas to New Year's, and reevaluate and expand upon and think about your life, your goals, your mission, what it is you're trying to accomplish, and make sure you're on that track. Is Steve Covey, quote him again, he talks about, you know, making the mistake of climbing the ladder of success and having it be propped up against the wrong wall. Is you really want to be thinking about where you want your school to be. And again, Toby, you and I interact with a lot of people who are way too conservative in thinking about what their financial outcomes can be, and perhaps who don't do enough deep thinking about what they want their lifestyle to be, what they want their school to look like, and really put some time, effort, thought, deep thinking on that. The third thing is the first of the year, and perhaps between now and the first, I always like to do it January 1st because my theory is they forget everything between Christmas and New Year's. But it's the right time to comprehensively and thoroughly retrain your staff on everything they're supposed to do. And if you're not completely retraining them on every system and process in your school about every 90 days, they're gradually evolving to become sloppier and sloppier and sloppier. But my habit with six locations was always the first week of January. I mean, the week between Christmas and New Year's, I was always trying to have them hit big enough numbers, 100, 120, 130,000 cash, that they got a long vacation and hopefully they got a free ticket to the Bahamas or something. But then the first week of January, we went on to 20 or 30 hours of solid business training. Marketing, first intro, second intro, enrollment conference, renewal prep, renewal conference, class management, because you've really got to start the new year with them being sharp on everything. The fourth thing is if you haven't already gotten your marketing plan for the first quarter, but especially January 1 through January 15th, is you've got to do that right now. And while December may be a tough time to fight the headwind of Christmas shopping from the standpoint of getting new students, and we've had schools with record enrollments in December, what we do know is that January is peak season no matter who you're talking about, whether it's kids, adult women looking for fitness, adult men, whatever, is its peak time. And certainly the fitness centers, it's their best month of the year. So what you want to do is you want to make sure you have a serious marketing plan. And that serious marketing plan should clearly include aggressive text, email, voicemail, direct mail, live outbound telemarketing to everyone who's dropped out over the last 12, 18, 24 months, and everybody who's raised their hand with even a little bit of interest in your school over the last 24 months. So really aggressively going after your lead database, but also everybody who's missing in action, working on getting them reactivated. So I just want to make sure we didn't leave without getting those four priorities: record month, staff training, new year, reevaluate, think about, and expand your goals, and number four, you got to have a serious marketing plan. So for the first of the year, and you can't wait till the beginning of the year to think about it, is you've got to implement that right now.
Yeah, there's no question. And by the way, we are starting to get early results in from some of our shopping mall stuff, right?
Yeah.
So just for everybody's edification, we have, I don't know how many locations, but I've got numbers in from a few folks. Our folks over in Daytona, they did, you know, we've done that that mall kiosk over the holiday mm-hmm. season over quite a few years. And this year, to try to mix it up a little bit, we kind of negotiated a different deal with the shopping mall. And instead of having the kiosk there all the time, we basically just bought the weekends, right? Including yeah. including the last Black Friday weekend and then this last weekend. So, you know, just as a way to try to mitigate the staff, you know how much effort it takes to have that thing open from 9 to, you know, 10
sure.
for the entire month. But anyway, so far, over the first initial opening weekend, and right now what we're doing is doing the spin wheel lead generator, but the Karate for Christmas offer right now is it's 4 weeks for $39 plus a gift wrap uniform. And so far we've sold 56 deals. So, you know, so think about that. I mean, you know, we're just now starting December, and again, we have a much more sophisticated approach now. We're going to be getting them, you know, to get into classes right away instead of waiting until the holidays, things like that. But early indications right now are really, really good. We haven't had this big of an opening in record that I can remember. So, you know, early indications are that shoppers are back a bit, and the thing was working pretty well. I think a lot of the good result is a testament to us getting better at the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
the shopping numbers, by all indications, are up from last year, way up from the year before, way up from the year before. So the economic impact of Obamacare probably hasn't hit yet, and the economy is, while it's not roaring back, it is back to a great extent. So all the indications are that things are rolling along pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in this particular case, the deal that we ended up, you know, finally negotiating was, for $2,100, they basically have all the weekends from Friday to Sunday, so Friday morning to Sunday night, instead of, I think, the typical kiosk was going to be, in most cases, it was like $4,000, $4,500, something like that, so about half, and we've really got the prime times, which is really what we wanted anyway. So, and they have a decent position in front of the mall and everything, so, you know, they're inside the mall, but in front of most of the other things. So it's working pretty well right now. So just FYI, anybody who's looking at something like that, early indications are really good, but it's definitely something that right now people that are out there looking for gifts. I mean, they're looking for things to get you know gifts. And in a lot of cases, what we see is the typical buyer isn't always just mom or dad. In many cases, it's grandma or aunt or uncle or whatever, and they walk by this thing on the way to, I don't know, maybe buy the other video game that they might, you know, the kid might want, and they see the sign and they go, well, that would be a cool gift, you know, and you know, you hear that type of language coming from these types of folks. So again, it's almost paid for itself in the first weekend, minus staff and you know, commissions, but all indications are really good on that. So you know, FYI for everybody, really something you should be looking at if you haven't already done that.
Yeah, and of course, December is prime time for the movie theaters as well, midsummer and mid-December. So when the marketing time is people perceive it to be a low ebb, is being in the for a new student acquisition, being in front of where they're going, which they're going to the shopping mall and they're going to the movie theater right now. Those are two places to. And again, it may not turn into a huge enrollment number in December, but it turns into a huge enrollment number in January. And again, don't take that to mean that December can't be a good month. I would say the closer you get to Christmas, the more of a headway you're fighting for actually getting them in and getting enrolled. But oftentimes these other sources is when they're really busy, busy, busy. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
The last point I was going to make before I have to ring off is that there are a couple times a year that I have found for my own personal development that really having a study project is useful as well. And the holidays is one of those things, one of those times. And, you know, I would suggest two types of things to really go to work on studying. One is, you know, I usually tend to go back to classics, but something like Think and Grow Rich or Canfield's book. I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it was a more comprehensive comparable, or Brian Tracy's Maximum Achievement book, is something where you go back and revisit. How, and for your staff as well, by the way, but for yourself, is just revisit how to think about your goals, make sure that you have thorough written goals, that you're focusing on them and you're thinking about them and you're monitoring your self-talk and all the things that we, in many cases, we're teaching very effectively to our students, but sometimes we forget to do them ourselves. The other thing I would recommend, not to sound self-serving, but the Mile High Maverick book would be a marvelous tie to that, to think and rethink about your business structure. And so I would recommend you take whatever downtime you have over the holidays, and you've got to make sure you structure it in. But to really study one of several success literature type of books, again, Think and Grow Rich, and a key element of Think and Grow Rich is to have a strong direction and strong goals. The other element is to have a strong mastermind team, which is what we've developed very effectively with Inner Circle and Peak Performers. Or one of the similar books, again, Canfield's book or Brian Tracy's book, to really evaluate your own goals, focus, personal development, and make sure you haven't gotten off track. The other thing, again, I would highly recommend is take that Mile High Maverick book, and some of you have read most of it anyway, but I would go through and really study, because there are some pretty, as I've looked at it again recently, there are some pretty deep concepts in there that you may be scratching the surface but not really implementing on a very effective manner.
Yeah, and by the way, so, a couple of folks in the Peak Performer Group had emailed me the other day and wanted me to send around the reading list I was talking about last week, and I'm going to do that. I just haven't had a chance to take a screenshot of it yet, but I totally agree. I love to do the same thing every year. I always have, like, it's almost a ritual, you know, and I have a few books I go back and reread, and in fact, right now, by the way, I'm retaking a speed reading course that I've taken many times before, just, you know, to try to, you know, kind of gear up to knock through a bunch of them, but I'll send that list around to everybody, and I like a lot of audiobooks too, so, you know, I have them on my phone and my car and things like that, and just, you know, I really like Tony Robbins' net time, you know, theory, no extra time, right? Things where you're usually doing other things, you can always, you know, kind of maximize that time, and, you know, I always have my phone, it picks up, my Bluetooth speaker picks up, and I can have those things on in the shower and, you know, when I'm running or, you know, working out or whatever, you know. I think stuff like that's always really useful. It's always really useful to kind of recharge the batteries. And you no matter how many times you've read and or listened through any of this stuff, there are always things that you'll pick up that you didn't pick up before. And many reasons, there's a lot of reasons for that, but there's two primary reasons. Number one is, you know, our brain only consciously remembers so many things. So, you know, what state you're in right now today causes you to remember things that you'll remember today, but your state might be different. You know, the next time you listen to it, you're thinking about different things. You're at a different place in your career, a different place in the development of the school. Different things become important and unimportant. So, you know, you'll hear different things. And the second thing is just that, you know, it takes 21 days to make a habit, right? So the more frequently you can put yourself through this process, the more of that self-talk will seep into your head, and it starts to push out all the negative stuff. You know, it pushes out all the jackasses on Facebook, and it pushes out all the, you know, negative news stories, and it starts to push out all of the, you know, doom and gloom that people are talking about in, you know, the economy or in the housing market or, you know, whatever. Housing market is the opposite, I guess, this week. But, you know, depending on what you're listening to, you can find, you know, negative in everything, right? So it starts to push all that stuff out and set you on the right, you know, framework. And I think that that's critically important to be able to do at least once a year, but certainly, you know, now's a good time.
Yeah, before I have to ring off, I would add one thing to that that list, though, is that it's the Stephen Hawking quote, all systems left on their own tend towards entropy. And I don't know how many times I've been to seminars or listened to speakers or read a book, and I learned absolutely nothing new, except I was reminded of things that I knew that I wasn't doing.
Right.
And especially in things like effectively masterminding with the right people, blocking out the wrong people, having clear daily, weekly, monthly goals, really reviewing your numbers, creating esprit de corps with your staff, and I could go on. But especially in things like that, it's easy for it to slip into entropy and for you to lose touch with things that you already know, by all rights, should be doing, but have let slip away over the years. It's on a macro level, it's why you retrain your staff every 90 days. And on a micro level, it's why you've got to keep going back and relearning what you already know. And we've had, I've talked to a number of people, and they go into a member website, and they listen to some teleconferences and stuff, and they'll say, well, yeah, but that's all stuff I already knew. But the question is, well, are you implementing 10 things of the 10 steps, or are you implementing 2 or 3 of the 10 steps, or are you implementing 5 of them at 20% efficacy? And if you're not implementing, you know, in this case, all 10 things at 100% efficacy, you got massive improvements to do. And I did an email one time, and I saw kind of a snitty response, and I was it was the secret to enrolling 100 students in 90 days. And the snippy response was, there are no secrets in this industry. And, well, there are. If there are things that somebody else knows that you don't know, it's a secret. But, frankly, if there are things that you know that you've forgotten you knew that you aren't implementing, it might as well be a secret. And you've got to continue to go back and relearn what you've already learned if you're not, in fact, doing it on a daily basis. So with that, Master Miller, I have to ring off, but certainly if you have a few more minutes and we have some more Q&A, great. If not, either way is fine. For all of our Inner Circle people, former members, any questions you have about any of this stuff, zap us an email right away and or call Bob at the office to schedule your one-on-one for this month, because we don't do it on a prearranged appointment schedule this month. We work it around everybody's schedule whenever possible.
Yeah, I was going to reiterate that. Yeah, anybody. Yeah, typically in December we wouldn't have our pre-scheduled one-on-one calls. But certainly if the need arises, mostly frankly because folks are just too busy. You know, mostly they're, you know, the school. In many cases, my coaching call days this month fall like on the holiday week. So you know, the likelihood of folks being able to make that is pretty low. So certainly give Bob a buzz and we can schedule something aside. But let's talk about that. I think we're out of time anyway. So, thanks everybody for the time. And we'll speak next year. Oh, by the way, keep an eye on your inbox and on your cell phones. I'm going to be sending around some messages. We're going to do a couple of other bonus webinars and things over the next few weeks to walk you through some of the new systems that we're going to be launching in the new year. So you'll have sort of a preview for all that stuff. And I've also been sending around the new Kickin' newsletter updates and the new member site content updates to everybody as well. So if you haven't been getting the Kickin' newsletter every Monday morning, the email newsletter, and the website updates every Sunday, if you haven't been getting those yet, you might give Bob a call at the office or shoot me an email directly, and I'll look into it and find out what the problem may be. But you will be and should be getting at least every Monday morning the new Kickin' newsletter email for your students. And then every Sunday, you'll be getting the new member updates, meaning all the material that you should go download or take a look at on the member site. And then in over the next couple of weeks, you'll also be getting the new leadership lesson of the week, the words of the week material, also the gold team lessons of the month for your instructor team. You'll also be getting the new ambassador program material, as well. So we're pretty excited about all that stuff. I want to make sure that everyone's actually receiving it and it's not just going into your spam filter. So go check your spam filter for my email address, TobyMilroy@NAPMA.com, and that should you should find all of that stuff coming from me. So thanks everybody for your time. Really appreciate it. I look forward to speaking to everybody soon. And if I don't see you on one of our bonus calls or webinars at the end of the year here, we'll see you after the first of the year. So speak to you soon, everybody. Thank you.